welcome you this morning in this place, in this church, in this building, in our hearts and in our lives. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come and do a new work in us today. Come and fill us. Come and speak to us, guide us, purify us, cleanse us, encourage us. Come and do a new work today, we pray. You are welcome to come and touch our lives and the lives of your people. Come and speak to us, whether we've been with you on this journey for many, many years, or whether this is the first time we hear your word. We hear about this God who's been living among his people, healing them, bringing them good news, dying for them, and then being brought back to life. Whether we hear this message end time or the first time today, come Holy Spirit and do a new work in us, we pray. Come and fill your people, anoint your people. Come and inspire your people, encourage them. Come Holy Spirit, we pray. Do a new thing in us today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It's one of those Sundays where I came to church, and I want to say to you a very huge thank you to all of you who have found this series on the Holy Spirit so powerful, so engaging, so liberating. Some of the words that you've been using in your emails to me or face-to-face, those of you who have asked for ministry, those of you who have been encouraged and open, I want to say thank you to you for opening your heart and your heart, your lives to the Holy Spirit's working. It is nothing more demoralizing, disappointing in life than to know that we've been a pretending church, we've been playing church, that we've been a fake disciples, that we've been fake disciples. There's nothing more demoralizing in our walk we got to know is that we live a double life. And the only one can separate it and then can break us away from that double life, it is only the Holy Spirit, as we allow him to come in our lives this morning, to come in our lives every day, to penetrate deeply and look deeply and cleanse and purify and encourage. And for this to happen, it takes huge guts, because to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is very, very difficult. It takes real courage to be honest, because at the end of the day, Jesus wants us to be like him, and to be like him, it means to be honest with him, it means to be ourselves and not someone else. You know, I had a sermon prepared that I worked for it all day Friday, all day yesterday almost, with just a little break at lunchtime. And last night I was quite feeling smug that I finished my 3.5-point sermon, Baptist style. I woke up this morning and I felt, I don't want you to preach this, the Lord was telling me. I want you to tell people three things. Remind them who they are in me, why they are here for, and how they're going to do that with my spirit. 3-point sermon, another 3-point sermon, but I have no script for that. And I told myself, I look at the watch this morning, and this is about 6:45, and how can I do that, Lord? You know, I've just got my sermon, it's 7 pages long, with lovely 3-point sermon already built in. So no, I want you to go and remind people who they are, first of all. How am I going to do that? So I sat down with the scripture. I sat down and prayed this morning. Sandra brought me a cup of tea and something to give me bread and butter and all that. And I picked up my Bible and some new words came out. And I felt that it's Pentecost Sunday. I need to, as your pastor, it's my privilege to stand up here and say how good we're doing, what a great vision we've got. As long as, which of course we do. But unless my life reflects God's love to you, my calling to be a minister, to achieve great things for God, to build big churches and to have incredible people attending this sanctuary and stuff like that counts to nothing. Absolutely nothing. If my life doesn't reflect the grace of God in my pastoral work, in my ministerial appointments, in my everyday work with Christ, all I am, it's another job being done by someone who takes his call in a church to perform. There are many a times when I come here and I stand up here and I'm thinking, do I want to preach this morning? Probably no, I don't. I don't feel like preaching in these particular mornings. And it is only through his strength that he gives me that I stand up here and preach against all odds. Sometimes you've got no idea what, because many people think, oh, if you're a minister, you are like this with God. Everything goes perfect for you. You never get angry, you never get upset. Everything is just good. And you are not allowed to ever, ever, ever commit any sin. Never ever to say a wrong word. You always have to be perfect. I stand here to say that by the Spirit of God, by His grace, I am not perfect. I am just a million called to proclaim His grace. Yes, okay, through words, through preaching, but also through my life. I want to remind you of who you are in Christ, is that you and I are called to be Christ people. I wonder if I have the PowerPoint up. Thank you. We've been called by Christ. We've been empowered by Him with authority from heaven, from Christ Himself, to go into the whole world and to make disciples. I sometimes sit down and I'm thinking, I remember the days when God has called me into ministry. The fervent zeal that I had. I was going from village to village to preach the gospel. And by the grace of God, and I'm not lying and I'm not boasting here as I stand in your presence here in front of you, but I saw people every week, every time I was going out with a small little group in my small little Baptist church in Romania. I was playing the guitar terribly, badly, horribly. But people were still coming to Christ. Every time I went out, I never failed to see people coming to Christ. I'm sitting sometime in my moments of whatever dark days the ministers go through. And I'm thinking, how much do I see people coming to Christ today in my ministry? Because it's the big Emilia, the big pastor. I want to ask you that question. When was the last time you had the wonderful privilege that God has given you, or you've taken that privilege, an opportunity to share the gospel with someone? Let me tell you what prompted this message this morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, at 6:45. This week, I had one of those moments when I sat down. You know, I came in this church on Monday morning. Those guys were busy with their friendship center and all that. I just came in here to pray. And I looked at my life 25, 30, 35 years ago as a young evangelist back in Romania and how people were coming to Christ. I look at my life now as a minister of LBC, 35 years later. And I'm still asking deeply within my heart, do people come to Christ today in my ministry, in our church? Let's be honest. Do people come to know the Lord because of our ministry? It's a tough question to ask. I was sitting here on the steps on Monday morning, and someone comes in, and I was sitting right here. Someone comes in this building and says, isn't it peaceful in here? I say, yeah. We enter into a conversation together. And by the grace of God, I share with that gentleman, as the time went by, the full story of what Christ has done for us on that cross. I can't say that I led that person to Christ because he was searching, but I was here. I wasn't as a minister. I was here just to pray, to look at my life in general, think and reflect. And God has brought that opportunity in which I had to share. I had an incredible privilege to share the gospel with this gentleman. Then, like the next day, I had, you have one, I think it was the next day or Wednesday, whenever it was. Sometimes my second office is Cafe Nero. And I go there from time to time. So it happened that day, I had about 3 meetings in Cafe Nero. Started at about 9:30 in the morning. And it went all day till about, I was there till about 1:45. Somebody's got to do it, I know. From all those 3 people that I met, 3 meetings, all 3 wanted to know more about God. I didn't go to ask for it, but God has given me the opportunity to share the gospel with him. I want to remind us ourselves that we have a mission that God has given us. And our identity in him is that we are disciples of Christ, called to go and make disciples. This is the mandate that Christ is given to his church on a Pentecost Sunday. When he empowered the church with the Holy Spirit to go and make disciples, it's very intentional. You know, sometimes you hear that quote from Francis of Assisi, I think it was, go and make disciples and, if necessary, preach the gospel. I think that's terrible. Because God has, Jesus himself, he came proclaiming, speaking, preaching the kingdom of God is here, is at hand. He proclaims something. Yes, we are called to do it through service, but also through proclaiming. And I understand not many people have got that kind of gifting as such, but we are called to proclaim. We are called as a church. I want to remind ourselves on this Pentecost Sunday of what our vision is. This is who we are. We are disciples of Christ, called to bring glory to God. And look at that, to bring others into a living relationship with Christ. Let me ask that question again. When was it the last time you had the privilege, the joy to witness someone coming to Christ because of you? Because of you. It's a tough question to ask. We're so full of busyness, of spirituality, of religiousness, of programs and stuff, that we're missing the boat. When the opportunity comes, we shy away. To bring others into a living relationship that is not a ghetto, it is not a club, but it is a spirit-led community. We don't call people to a religious exercise. We don't call people to a club in which they have to pay their duties and all that stuff. We call them into a spirit-led community of love, of grace, of acceptance. We call them to walk and be witness to Jesus Christ, his love. This is what we said over the years, that we do this in 5 areas, aspects of our life, of our discipleship, in magnification, what we call worship, ministry and service, through everything that we are called to do, through mission, in starting here, into schools, into the rich community, throughout the world. We are called to have fellowship together. It's what we call membership, to build relationship through our connect groups, through our one another's visits, through whatever it is pastorally, that we care and love one another. And the scripture says, do not stop meeting like this. And of course, we do it through maturity, or i.e. discipleship. I think we are very good at the 4 areas there, of the first 4, of worship. We're probably good at service. We're very good even at evangelism. We take our boat out and we go and do it. And we're good at building relationships. We are probably excellent at being a good, what people describe as a good, genuine, loving fellowship. We're very good at that. But how good are we that we grow in Christ, both spiritually and also numerically? in maturity and discipleship. And that it's a tough question to ask, but I want to ask it. If I don't ask it on this Pentecost, when do I? You know that I usually, whenever I start a new series of sermons, I usually start with reminders about what a vision is. Well, I didn't do it this time in the series, and I was wondering when am I going to do it. And that's what I felt this morning. The Lord was saying, remind them again of what a vision is. Where we're going and what we're going to do. Who they are in me. This is what we're trying to do. And in the last 5 years or so, we sat down and we thought, we want something at the base of every day that we want to develop that discipleship aspect of our vision. That first last core value. In such a way that we become intentional about our ministry. We become intentional about our faith, about our sharing, about our service to the world. That we are not just here to provide social services. We are here to actually bring people into a spiritual encounter with God. Into a spiritual community that is led by His Spirit. Not just a social service. And we took that verse as a base. Follow me. And I will make you. If we obey, it starts with following, with obedience, with a full surrender to Christ. It is He will change us and make us disciples, and make us fishers of men. And it is He who will change other people's lives through us as we obey Him. This is what disciples, the essence of discipleship is all about. And so we, in the last 5 years, we said that part of that discipleship core value that we have of our vision is that we want to become a disciple, all of us, individuals, every single individual in this church who makes disciples of Jesus Christ. Very, very, very intentional about becoming disciples. It means allowing God to penetrate in my heart, to open my heart through His Spirit, allowing God to, through the pain and wounds and agonies that I go through, to serve Him anyway. And witness to other people through that love. And so our vision is to become that Spirit-led community, not a social club, not a social service. And our task is to make disciples. Our task is to make disciples. Christ will convict people of their sin. Holy Spirit will convict people of their sin. And our task is to grow and nourish them. To share the good news and the witness of Christ's grace and love with them. That's what we're called to. And I look at the Apostolic Church, the passage that we read this morning. And if you look at it, this is Peter, as Debbie hinted in her prayers this morning. This is Peter who denied Christ 3 times. This is Peter who said, I don't know Him. I have nothing to do with him. This is Peter who now a few days later stands up in front of 3,000 people and proclaims the gospel. And 3,000 people come to know the Lord. This is Peter who says, I'm no good. I don't want to know him. This is another encouragement that comes our way to say that many people will stand probably here in the pews and will say, but I'm no good to preach Christ. I'm no good. I'm not as trained as a millionaire is, whatever, to preach Christ. We all are. Some of you will say, well, I've done so much bad stuff in my life that I don't think Christ can ever use me. If you use Peter, He can use you. In obedience and full surrender to His Holy Spirit, He will use you. He will use you. But what's interesting is that before we get to, and I'm going to get very little into this sermon in a minute or two, in Peter's sermon, is that when you look at the Apostolic Church, they started with waiting. They were in the upper room, praying there, as Christ has told them, wait here because the Holy Spirit will come. They were at prayer. They were waiting on Christ. They were waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. They didn't jump out and say, well, let's go and do it. They were waiting. They were praying. How much prayer do we need as a church for our mission and ministry, for our discipleship to grow, to be empowered by Christ? We need to pray day and night if we are to see Christ working in and through us. day and night as a church, as a fellowship, as individuals. The ministry that we have in all its aspects here in church, to all the programs and ministries that we have, the one on the ridge, especially on the ridge, sometimes I think we are so naive that we don't realize what we're going against. And you know, there are probably two things that we're fighting here. One is the atmosphere and the workings of probably the devil that does against us as a church to go on a rich mission like that. Because he doesn't mind as long as we sit here for 365 days and worship him and do all sorts of other things. The devil is, to be honest, he doesn't care that much. What he cares and what he is disturbed by is the fact that we go away into mission to bring God's kingdom to the marginalized of the society. Then he starts to shake things up. That's why we need prayer. Prayer at its best. Prayer at its most fervent. And this is what the apostolic church did. They were together in praying that the Lord will open the door for them, will empower them to go into all the world and make disciples. Prayer was at the base of what they did, really vital key, the foundation where they started from to go and proclaim the gospel. It's prayer, and then it became the power. The power, of course, was the Holy Spirit. We sometimes feel a burden to make disciples or to evangelize or to do mission because we think we have to be precise in our wording to tick the boxes of whatever it is or to know the Bible incredibly well so that we can proclaim. We forget that it is the Holy Spirit who does the work in someone's life. All we need to do is to be a witness. And I started Monday morning here on the steps, sharing with that person God's love. I started with the testimony of my life. And I could see that person was in tears. Christ already started to speak to his life. Then I moved from there and I moved to how I became a minister. I moved to the cross of Jesus Christ. What he did for me and why I am where I am today. Just tell your testimony to people. What God has done in your life. And let the Holy Spirit do the work. You don't have to have a huge, grand theological degree to know your Bible in and out in order to share his love. No, we are called to be disciples. Who are we in Christ? We are his witness. We are his disciples. People called to pray. People empowered by his Spirit to witness to his love and to his grace. And number three, as you look to the Acts, and this is where we come to our passage here, that there was, once there's been prayer, the Lord has answered it by empowering his people, and now his people are answering back in obedience, going to proclaim. And we know how the early church has spread the good news, is that they went from place to place, they went to their work, to their businesses, and as they moved from Asia to Africa, to wherever they moved on, from east to east, to north to south, they witness to what Christ has done in their lives. They witness to what they've seen, what they've heard. They brought with them some of these manuscripts that they had, and they share that incredible witness of Christ's grace. They proclaim Christ crucified. And look at this, if you even want to know, but what shall I say to people? Look at this sermon here. It says in verse 22, "Men of Israel," this is the first point that Peter makes. "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourself know." Basically what it says, God in his love sent Jesus. He sent this among us people because we were sinners. He sent Jesus. And this is what I share on Monday morning here. This is what I share during the week in Cafe Nero with those three other folk. The whole plan of God's salvation is that we were bad, but yet Christ chose to send what was most precious to him to come and live among us and then die for us. The second is that as Jesus Christ came and lived among us in In the following verse, in verse 23, it says, Peter says in his sermon, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose in foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. In other words, he came among us as peaceful, as loving, but God's purpose was that he would go to the cross. And you have help within that. You've been part of God's purpose. That's what Peter says here. Imagine how these people who are listening now to Peter's sermon. I think that clock is bad. It's not 10 to, is it? Is it 10 to? No, in 5 minutes I'm done. I'm done. Whew. Where was I? The second point that he makes is that we crucify him. And it was God's purpose within that. So imagine people who were listening to this sermon. There must have been people in that crowd of among those 3,000 people who crucified Christ, who were part of witnessing what happened to Jesus on the cross a few days earlier. Because it says later on, I think in verse 37, it says they were cut to heart. And they responded to that incredible, powerful message that Peter displayed. Now, if you look at this, this is the second Pentecost. Do you know when the first Pentecost happened? The first Pentecost was 50 days later from when the Israelites left Egypt. 50 days later, the Israelites found themselves on Mount Sinai. And on Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And when God went up to the mountain in the smoke and fire and all that stuff, and when he came back with the Ten Commandments, he found people there building their own God, having a great good party, and forgot about his God, the real God. And Moses gets really angry with him and really complains to him, and he has a go at him. And you know what happened? That some of them began being so grumbling, so disobedient, that something happened to them, that they died. Do you remember how many died in Exodus and that first Pentecost? 3,000. How many come to Christ now? First Pentecost? 3,000. 3,000. His message was that Christ came among us, that we put him to death, but was part of God's plan anyway. Certainly in verse 24, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep his hold on him. He came among us. We put him to death because of our sin, but Christ, but God in his love, through the power of his Holy Spirit, brought him up to life again. And this is the message that Paul brings, the essence of it. And then final point that he makes in verse 33, he says, he is now exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. What you now see and hear. And then he says in verse 36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Both Lord and Christ. When the apostles heard this, they were cut to heart and said to Peter and the others, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do to be saved? And Peter gazed at the back of... Imagine if I do the conclusion of my message this morning... Because this is Peter's conclusion, where this following verses, words, Peter replied, this is the conclusion of his message. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. As for you and your children, the promise. Believe, repent, and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. What an incredible, simple message. Those people responded because they've heard. How would they know unless they have heard? How can they respond unless someone tells them? Someone told you one day, if I were to ask each one of you how you became a Christian, it's because you've heard somewhere the gospel. You've heard the message. How can they come if they don't know, if they don't know, they don't hear it? To me, this week has been one of probably my best weeks for a long, long time in ministry. Not because I've achieved massive sermons or I've done great projects or I've, but because of the privilege, the incredible privilege I had to share the gospel afresh and anew with someone who, two of the people that I shared with, was a completely distorted gospel of who God was. And some was completely against Christianity and church. Not necessarily against God. What a privilege. What a privilege I had. And this is the calling to all of us. We are called to be disciples who make disciples. Not just disciples who come and have a good time in church. Let me tell you something. It would have been very nice. You know, how many of you here watch Netflix? May the Lord have mercy on your soul. But I usually, because you get so many hundreds of movies there in Netflix. When I look at Netflix, usually if I put a movie on, you know how I make a decision if the movie is good or not. If it's a good beginning. Yeah, full of action and all that stuff. And you go home and watch Aladdin. I don't know whether it's on Netflix. But watch Aladdin, the old one, the Disney, the 1992 one. Watch the first 10 minutes. How he draws you in straight away into the story. And then hits you gently with what the story is all about. That's, for me, what makes me watch Netflix. If it's a good movie, it's got to have a good beginning. If it's a good beginning, I'll watch it. Action, all that stuff. You know, so that's what happens at Pentecost, my brothers and sisters. God is the, almost like Steven Spielberg, the director of the incredible empowering of his church, of the what is the movie that is going to be roll on from then onwards for ages to come in his mercy and his will. He starts with a very, very good beginning. Imagine tongues of fire that look like tongues of fire, speaking in tongues, hearing different languages. This is the beginning, this is the entrance. But Peter doesn't mention that in his sermon. This is just the introduction. What Peter mentioned is the content. Because many of us, we want the introduction. We want the power, you know, to be revealed, the excitement, the joy, the celebration, the trembling, all that stuff. And I don't stand in judgment. God does it through his Spirit from time to time. But that's not the message that we give to people and we have to give to people. That is the message. That he came, he died, and is alive forevermore. Amen? It's as simple as that. And I am a sinner, part of that story. That's all you have to say. We are called to be disciples who make disciples because God has put a big price on our lives together. As individuals, in our callings, in our being teachers, engineers, whatever we are, plumbers and so on, there is an opportunity for all of us to tell our stories. How we came, we knew him, and then we follow him as such. The conclusion of Acts, by the way, I'm going to start a new series I've decided this weekend in the autumn, looking at the book of Acts. And we start with the first, all autumn, we're going to look at the first eight chapters of Acts, how we continue to tell the story of what Christ did for us on that cross, how we impact the world today through our mission and ministry, through our service, through how we become disciples who make disciples very intentionally. Watch that space from the autumn this year. And we'll probably carry on for 2-3 years with that every autumn, from as we did with Romans before. The gospel is this. You and I are sinners. we deserve to go to eternal damnation, but Jesus died in our place. It was God's purpose and God's plan. Our sins have been put on the cross. He is alive forevermore. We have a hope. And full stop, that's it. But a full obedience is required so that the Holy Spirit may continue that work in and through us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house today and pray for your Holy Spirit. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come in our midst, to help us be a witness to your grace. Lord, I want to pray for myself here as I pray for my brothers and sisters in this building. For those of us who have probably been walking with you for years, Lord, I pray that you will give them an opportunity this week to share your love with someone. I just ask you, as you sit down there on these pews, just ask the Lord to give you that opportunity in the next few days where you will have the courage to share Christ with someone. And then leave that to him to do the work. Just have a minute or two, an intimate time between you and the Lord. Say, Lord, use me. Now, if you do mean that prayer, do pray it. If you don't. But if you do mean it, expect that God will use you this week. As we pray for ourselves to become disciples, to make disciples, we also want to encourage ourselves as a church. We remind ourselves that we have a purpose as a church, is to bring glory to your name, is to bring others in a relationship with you, and is to become a Spirit-led community. Lord, we want to be led by a Spirit, not by tradition. We want to be led by the Scripture, the words of Jesus. We want to be led by Jesus himself into the mission field, into the battlefield, into the communities, neighborhoods, into our families where we witness for you. Lord, will you empower us to do so? May it start with our stories and end with your stories. And then come alive into the stories of other people who've been touched, who have been touched by your story. Lord, help us to become genuine disciples who make disciples. Help us to become disciples who've been touched by your forgiveness and grace, and so that we can impart forgiveness and grace to others. Help us not to live a double life, but a life that is aligned to your Holy Spirit, that is pleasant to you. Lord, come and fill your people, fill your church. Revive us, we pray. Renew us. Regenerate and re-energize us. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come in our relationships, come in our church, come in our mission and ministry, come in our future, come and reveal your purposes for each one of us. And Father, as we already mentioned this morning, we pray for the reach, we pray for this meeting on Wednesday. Lord, come in the midst of this mission and ministry. Bring your man or your woman that you have called, that your purposes may be fulfilled for the community of people that you love, that you die for. May we continue to have incredible opportunities to share. And Lord, kill the apathy from us, the fear that is there to go into a mission field like this. I bind any forces of the evil one that stops us from going there. I bind any forces of fear. I bind any forces of indeed apathy and disinterest of going into there. Lord, you called us. May we obediently respond to that calling by following in the steps of your Holy Spirit. We ask forgiveness for the times and the years when we used to bust children from the ridge into here. And then we give up on that. We repent of that. We repent this morning. And on this day of Pentecost, we pray that you'll forgive us. And we will never do that again. We will continue to see your love spreading in our community and beyond. As we pray for ourselves here, we pray again, yeah, for Liz and Peace Ministry as they go to minister to those wonderful children. We pray that you will bless them and anoint them in the weeks and days ahead. And maybe a good day on the 29th of June here where we come to support that as part of our going out. Lord, we thank you for Pete and Liz and their obedience to go out there. And we align all our ministries to you. And we ask that you will lead us, revive us, renew us, encourage us through them, and never ever be ashamed of the hope that is within us, of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.